The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
He throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. Now, Alex, you're joining me. Are you in self-isolation at all? This whole virus going through, are you safe? Are you fit?
I am literally inside of a bubble right now. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. I'm kidding. It's not, I shouldn't joke. It's just with the way the US and UK government has handled things, I can't help but think that it's a joke because they're treating it like one.
Yeah.
How are you handling this?
It is what it is. I go to bed at night, I wake up, it's a new day. If anything happens, it happens. That's my thing about it.
So are you... I work inside of a shopping center, and it was busy today. I drove through Cambridge, and people are outside playing football. People are walking around. There's groups of people running together. People in Buffalo are still celebrating St. Patrick's Day, even though the parade was canceled. Some people made their own parade. People are out at the bars downtown. Would you be one of those people that would, like, go out if you didn't need to, though? Like, where are you at in that?
I probably still would. I mean, yes, I can probably stay in my house pretty much 365 days a year, 24/7. but I would still probably go out. I'm not one of those guys that will actually, just say nope just because you say I'm not going out. I'm not going out. I will be going out.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, I was miserable today because I saw the people out just not caring. I saw one guy sniffling. I saw one girl coughing into her coat, and I wanted to punch them both in the face because even though they're not going to get sick, like, badly, they could get it and then get someone else sick. And, you know, be responsible for your fellow humans here. Let's make the smart decision, and let's just quarantine ourselves. Only go out if you need to. Don't get other people sick so this thing can just go away. Look, I got a trip coming up. I want to be able to leave this country. If things get worse and we lock down the airports, it's all your fault.
All right? Well, my question is, I got one other question. How much toilet roll have you got in your house?
Oh my God, you want to get started on this. I mean, people, Europe is a hop, skip, and a jump away. They use bidets. Incorporate that into your life. You don't need toilet paper anymore. I mean, my wife goes shopping. I don't. I hate the supermarket at any time of the day. She said there's no more pasta. There's no more toilet roll. The co-op had no more chicken breast. Like, people, calm your shit, all right? Like, there's people out there who live paycheck to paycheck, and if you're going to hoard 3 weeks of groceries, then these people, when they can't afford to go to the store, there's no food. We're all in this together. Come on. Yeah. Stop overreacting.
Yeah. I love scrolling through Twitter and Facebook on there, and I found so many great jokes about the virus. Obviously everyone knows that most of the football, there are still places, still leagues that are still running, obviously suspended. As one joke I found funny was it went, so all football suspended. So for a change, I started talking to my wife and found out she got made redundant from Woolworths. And probably the people in UK probably know this a lot more, that Woolworths pretty much went out of business about 10, 12 odd years ago. And if we've got any Spurs fans listening, another one, they may have seen this one, but it's breaking news. The Red Bull Leipzig goalkeeper who played Tuesday night against Spurs has tested positive for the coronavirus. Spurs players are advised not to self-isolate as they didn't get anywhere near him.
Hey-o!
Oh,
look, I'll take any shot I can at the Spurs, so I like that.
Yep. So do I. So do I. I mean, I had so many more saved. Well, a couple more saved. I mean, China's just released the name of the first man with coronavirus. Achu.
You proud of that?
I am proud of that.
I mean, yeah. I know you have kids, but god damn, that's a dad joke. You go to the pub and you're like, I'll order a Corona, hold the virus.
Yep. That definitely would be
nice. You need to self-isolate for stupidity if you're going to dig into those kind of jokes. My god, it's the off season though, isn't it? I mean, this is the news reel. I mean, it hasn't been slow news though, has it?
It hasn't,
for the Bills. No, we have a little bit here, a little bit there. So what do you want to hit on first?
Well, first of all, I'm just going to say to the listeners, you have tuned into the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues UK Bills podcast with Matt and Alex. We're not going to spend the whole show talking about the coronavirus. We're going straight into the Bills news and Josh Norman.
No, Five Pound says that the second we started talking about the coronavirus, people sighed and turned it off. So to the two listeners who are still with us, thank you very much for sticking with us. We're actually going to talk about football now.
Yes, Josh Norman, 1 year, $6 million. Do you think he's going to be – you think it's just a camp body?
Yeah, so it's a maximum $8 million deal. There was a lot of uproar over the money, and I get it. When the salary breakdown came out, you're looking at a 2.8 salary. The biggest problem, though, is the cap hit. It's 5.8 compared to Trey White's 3.2. So that just looks bad on paper. But, you know, he comes from he spent time with McDermott. So there's a lot of trust there. So production wise, do you think he'll use him to the best of his ability? I said on Twitter, if it doesn't work out, then, you know, we re-sign Levi Wallace. So we were all happy with the secondary last year. So this guy can't make things worse because if he doesn't produce, he'll be benched or cut, and that's okay.
I think
the most important thing is it takes a position of need off the board when it comes to draft and free agency. That gives McBean more time to focus on positions of need and player evaluations. So less is more in this scenario. Multifaceted win for the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the reaction when the news was broadcast that Josh Norman was signing. Obviously, we knew he snuck into Buffalo a fair few weeks ago for a meeting about people noticing. And when he signed, I see people saying he's past it, he's dead, he hasn't got it in the locker anymore. But that is probably the system they played around in Washington.
Because obviously, very easy to assume that Washington used him poorly. I mean, they're a tire fire of an organization. So I'm not too worried about what he did there. Clearly, he's on the wrong side of 30. But, I mean, we've seen Deion Sanders play in his late 30s when he came back to play with Baltimore and wasn't the worst. So it should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, he had his best seasons when he was with McDermott, as when Carolina, when McDermott was the defensive coordinator. So,
yeah, 2015, he was fantastic. Yeah. And that was really his best year. I mean, in 2018 with Washington, he posted above average numbers. It was only 2019 where he really got burned. If he can show us like 2016, 2017 productivity, his first 2 years in Washington, that's a good number two corner. And I think that he can do that for at least a year. And that's all we really need him for, you know?
Exactly. I mean, it's a year. It's pretty much like a prove it deal almost. I mean, if he does well on it, then who knows what could happen, or he could just be there just to for them to allow to develop Levi Wallace a lot more if they do go and draft a Michael Ajude in the draft in the third round or something like that, someone that he can actually pass on experience to, obviously with Trey White in there. It's a low risk, high reward signing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, we got the money, so we can't, you can't be upset about spending it. You're going to have to spend it. You know, would you rather have two cheap guys and cut one of them, or would you rather have a guy? See, I think the another thing that this does well for us is, it is a move that brings a name in. It shows the league and other players that Buffalo is a destination for players who want to win.
Yeah.
Josh Norman, you know, hasn't won one, and he chose to come here. So, yeah. You know, I mean, fantastic.
Exactly.
He knows that he can come here and we'll get the best out of him, and he'll play the best to his ability and maybe get that one more contract. And he believes there's an opportunity to win. I mean, Baltimore just got a lot better with their trade today. Calais Campbell, was it? The AFC gets stronger as we get stronger. So, I'm not worried about it.
Well, you've seen what Tannehill got given. Wait,
I didn't see the number, no, but I mean, it's Ryan Tannehill, for God's sakes.
Like,
I mean,
what was it? It was like it's about 100 million or something like that.
No, that number's too high for Ryan Tannehill. You're kidding me, right?
I'm just quickly loading up now. Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill
contract.
$118 million.
$118 million total. 29.5 average per year. 62 fully guaranteed, and 91 total guarantee.
Unbelievable.
Four-year contract.
Horrible, horrible decision.
Yep. And this is from the guy that. What was it in the playoffs? Was it only through for like 200 odd yards?
Yeah, I mean, they're. You know what? Not my problem.
Exactly. And everyone's moaning about us giving Josh Norman a one year, $6 million contract when the Titans, who are probably low on the old salary cap, actually forking out $118 million over 4 years for a second rate quarterback.
They're probably gonna franchise tag Derrick Henry, so that's gonna be $11.2 million. They're putting their money in all the wrong places. So good for them. We won't see you back next year in the in the playoffs probably. So, I mean, good. Okay, that's fine.
I mean, I'm looking at their salary cap numbers. Obviously, this has now changed. I don't know what it is now, but they were 18th in the league on salary cap availability with 40.8 million. That's going to go down quite heavily with the Tannehill contract and the and the Derrick Henry franchise tag. So
I mean, good on Tannehill for getting paid. I mean, kudos to any player who does enough to get that deal. But staying with signings, the Bills also re-signed Quentin Spain, Robert Foster, and Levi Wallace. We didn't think that Spain would re-sign, did we?
I kind of thought he didn't. It's one of those ones where. You wanted him to sign. You knew that it was someone that could you go out in free agency and find that replacement. And it also is showing us where they think Cody Ford's going to be, at least for next season.
Staying in Tackle.
Because you've now got Dawkins, Spain, Morse, Feliciano, and most likely Ford. You've got your five.
Yeah, they're all back. Everybody's back.
So that's more continuity for Allen during the off season, mm-hmm. during training camp, where he can get used to the line, they get to protection, and it's another step forward. I think most of us were clamoring for him to be re-signed, and he went the whole 16 games and didn't give up one sack. The only sack he gave up was in the playoffs. So. For that money, for what they gave him, we've got good value. And we've got a guy who, at 28, is in his prime. So we'll get him as soon as he comes to the end of his contract. He may be pushing the last legs, so to speak. But we've tied him down.
I don't know about it, though. Yeah. So everybody came back, and we were 12th in the league in sack percentage allowed. You would want to be lower in this scenario. We all hate Pro Football Focus, but they ranked the Bills O-line 21st in the league, with Spain getting a below-average grade. You know, this all falls on to trust the process, trust McDermott and Bean, which we all do. I see Spain. This was a position that I wanted to kind of upgrade in the offseason with, like, Bulaga or something like that. If they were able to talk Spain into a rotational or backup role a la Tyan Seki, then we're going to draft someone who could, you know, play in and out. I think that's maybe the best move, but that probably would be a fourth or fifth round guy. I don't know. I need the offensive line to be better. I mean, Josh Allen was pressured a lot. His hit rate was, on the wrong side of the NFL average, partially due to his running and his always bailing out of the pocket. But I'm not disappointed that everyone's coming back, but I wish things would have gotten a little better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad, because I say it's a
continuity is good. Continuity is good.
Yeah, it's a 3-year, $15 million deal. So on that sort, would you actually would you say that's potentially backup type money, or do you think that is we'll pay you as a starter money?
Well, it's definitely not Pro Bowl money. I mean, I don't think I need to say that. That's duh. But no, it's definitely a we like you, but if you don't produce, then that's an easily cuttable contract. So the pressure is probably understandably there to produce or else kind of thing.
Yeah, because I mean, his words after confirming his decision to resign, this is Quinton Spain's words himself. He said, "Happy to be back and ready to continue what we started and didn't finish last year. We got something special going on in Buffalo, and I didn't want to pass up that opportunity." So
saying all the right things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is continuity. I mean, now we know that they're going to give Ford maybe one more year at tackle, and then at the end of the season, are they going to actually make that decision to move him to even to right guard and actually either push Feliciano to a backup role? Because obviously Feliciano can back up the center as well. So he can back up Mitch Morse, move Ford over, and then draft or sign a potential tackle next year. It's still questions on that line, but it's great.
It's good questions. There's flexibility there, and they're leaving the door open, an opportunity to upgrade always, and that's great.
Yeah. So other ones you've mentioned Levi Wallace. We know what we can expect of him, what we can look forward to. Can he beat out Josh Norman?
If he can't, great. That means Norman succeeded. And if he does, then, I mean, we know what the secondary can be with him. So it's a win-win re-signing there. And then the Robert Foster one, I mean, do you really sign him just to cut him? I mean, we're going to bring in a wide receiver. He's going to have to really compete. I mean, it's going to be him, McKenzie, and Duke Williams on the chopping block come cut time.
That's if we re-sign McKenzie.
Right, yeah. I mean, in the way that we used him last year, I think that we do. I mean, a gadget speed guy. If we draft a small guy to fill his role, that'll be stupid, because we want the do everything wide receiver. Sign everybody and have them compete. The best thing for any team, for any player, is competition. You don't want anyone to ever feel comfortable. So bring them all back and make them earn it.
Because I mean, at the moment, what you got? You got your top your top two, Beasley, Brown, obviously going to keep, you're potentially going to keep Andre Roberts for this year for his special teams ability, for his punt kick returner. Then you draft, I don't know, say Denzel Mims in the draft, and maybe someone like Van Jefferson, Peoples Jones in the drafts. If you go, if they double dip, that's two.
I love the idea of taking two of them. Yeah. So.
Or, and then there's even the free agent wide receivers, to say people been going on about DeMarcus Robinson and Tajay Sharp, Rashard Higgins. So if you get one of those, instantly you've got six wide receivers. Now, do you make a case that you try and find a spot for him, or is it camp body and just hope that he can beat out one of those guys, even if it's like a Tajay Sharp, and then if they sign him to a team-friendly deal, cut Sharp and put Foster as that number six?
Absolutely. Bring them, like I said, bring them all in, competition, and just keep the guys that work. It's not a position that we can go into the season with question marks still. Mm. It's a position that needs to be solidified as soon as possible. So, I mean, and correctly. So, yeah, I mean,
you've also
bring
got
in a guy and bring in a guy, draft a guy, draft two guys. I mean, you can't practice squad a third round pick or fourth round pick. So, you're going to have decisions to be made, but that's going to be one of the best conversations in training camp, is who does what and goes where. And I'm all for it.
Yeah. The Bills have also re-signed Jason Kroon.
They have to. I mean, you can't let go of your daughter's boyfriend. So.
I see that.
I have opinions about the Pegulas, all due to the Sabres, because of the mishandling there and the pushing of the stupid healthcare products that their daughter's putting out. And just the lack of response there. So, you know, any opportunity to take a shot, I will, because the Sabres were my first love. They were their first investment, and they've just completely dropped the ball on that. So anything in relation to anything Pegula-wise, and which is the Kroom signing, gets under my skin. Whatever. He'll get cut. I mean, he's worth nothing. I mean, I know he was the leading tight end receiver 2 years ago, but those numbers are bad, and he's an injury guy, can't stay on the field. So maybe it's just a little bit of a gift, and we'll see what happens from there.
It's possible. I mean, he's athletic. That's no argument about that. Obviously, former wide receiver turned tight end.
I've seen shades. I mean, he's shown shades of, you know, of potential, but just never really clicked fully on it.
Yeah, I mean, there is also one other. Well, you obviously have got the restructuring of Star Lutelay, which everyone knew about. The restructuring of Tyler Croft, and also they extended the option on Spencer Long. Mm-hmm. That's something that went under the radar on there. So they brought back pretty much all the O-line from last year.
Yeah.
And obviously with the Croft restructuring, saving a bit of cap, I'm just going through a tweet from Greg Thompson. With on the cap space, with all those signings, we've got an updated cap space of $73.4 million.
Still good.
So still got a lot left to go after a few free agents. Maybe they splash. Maybe they just go for what they did last year. Go for the second tier type guys.
It definitely feels like a second tier kind of free agency year. So.
I mean,
who's got to think? I want to say like 40% of that money is going to go to like Trey White, Edmonds, and Dawkins.
Josh.
So.
Yeah. Oh,
and Josh, yeah. I mean, that'll be in a year.
Milano as well.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that that money's not all going to be spent this year. We're probably going to have a good chunk of that at the start of the year for next year.
Yeah, I can see them. I can see them, and people, there have been sources saying that they could see stuff actually being being tied up with lease with Milano, Dawkins, and by the end of May, end of June time, obviously they can extend Trey White for an extra year thanks to that fifth year option. So it gives them a little bit more time to work something out, and they don't have to rush as much. When then obviously next year they're leading into having probably extending Edmonds and Allen for an extra year, but it's given them that flexibility.
I mean, but wouldn't it be fun to just see him? I don't know, because part of me wants them to be responsible. Part of me wants them to just go for it.
Yeah.
Would you rather have them spend it all this year and go big and, like, let's say they win the Super Bowl, but then next year they go full Florida Marlins? I don't know if you get that reference, but the Florida Marlins have won two world championships, and then the year after they cut everyone and traded the whole roster away. Would you be willing for something like that to happen, where we sign everybody and then the team just falls apart in the next 3 to 4 years because of the cap restraints?
Or are you saying just build it patiently, work as what you've got as the other
option? Yeah, or do what it kind of looks like they're doing, which is incremental upgrades, building a core, and having it work out, hopefully.
The guy in me would say it's got to be the first one. Do it, spend it, then rebuild. But the smart one in me thinks that we've got the pieces. We can still, we need maybe two or three pieces, which we can get this year and in the draft, which can take us up to that level. And we're still going with our own philosophy of developing within. I mean, when you give us the first option, winning, do you mean you're going to get rid of Allen, Edmonds, Milano? You can get rid of all the main players, the ones that are going to get you your first round.
You're obviously keeping the main players, but what you won't be able to do is build around them. You know, I mean, when you look at the Saints, I mean, they had 3 or 4 years in the middle of Breeze's tenure where they were good and then they were bad and now they're good again. It's like something like that, where they go big, they went big and they won it, and then they got into trouble and then they worked their way out of it. And then luckily everyone stayed healthy, and they were able to get the right pieces back again. I don't know. I'm not ready for them to lose in the first round of the playoffs again.
No.
And if we do that with cap space available, I'll feel like we didn't do everything we could, because I'm living for the moment, because coronavirus is going to kill us all one day. So let's just win the Super Bowl now, please.
Yeah, but I mean, what could happen with contracts now is something that you want to talk about next, and something that's been ratified today is the new CBA.
And normally I don't care about stuff like this. I just want to watch the game on TV. But with the advent of the internet and really good websites like The Athletic and the Players Tribune, you can really get an inside look at what's really going on. And, you know, it's really interesting to see how the business aspect of the league. So if you haven't seen it already, a few major bullet points. There will be a 17th game, not in 2020, but as early as 2021. But it'll be either 2021, 22, or 23. And the reason that is because broadcast contracts need to be decided still.
Okay.
With that, there will be an uneven number of home games. And it's assumed that half of the league will have 9, and then the next season, the other half will have 9 home games. And then when the 17th game is implemented, there will be one less preseason game. So more football. Great, right?
Yep, that's good. That's good. Do you think it's down to? In my opinion, down to the fact that they want to get, want to obviously take it international, obviously with the Wembley games, the game in Mexico.
Yeah, you're looking at probably another international game.
Yeah, so I'm thinking obviously you're gonna have four. Yeah, five games at the moment. So that's obviously five teams that will obviously will have eight. For example, home games compared to the others, I would have nine.
Yeah.
But it's,
but you can work it out where, you know, the season, the year where you are, where you have nine, those will be the teams that are playing their home games away in other countries. And then they won't be bothered when they have the eight.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it's it is a tricky one. I mean, how they get out the schedule, yeah.
Or is weird because obviously half the teams will be at a disadvantage, and they're definitely not going to do two games. It was just the last CBA in 2011. It was a non-negotiable that they wouldn't add another game because the players' union just didn't want it, and I'll talk on that later. So another thing, as a perennial bubble team, the Buffalo Bills, you know, in the hunt, there will be a third wildcard team making the playoffs now. Only one team will get the bye, and that'll be the conference top seed. So more playoff games, one more playoff game. That's got to be fun, right?
Yeah. So how would that work then? So obviously you've got the seed. So if we take it as it was,
6-4-5, and so then the seed plays one, and then the two middle play each other.
So okay, that's the one thing that would actually get me really, really confused on would have been that, because obviously seven, that's good. I like the fact that you can get a seventh team and.
I'm all for the underdogs. I mean, if a seven can beat a two, that would be really good, fun stuff. As long as we're not the two. But I don't think we're going to be a two for quite a while. I think Baltimore and Kansas City are going to run the table.
I don't know.
I mean, I can see us being a 3-4, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to say the least. Cause, I mean, let's say you've got. Yeah, you can have a chance where you get the number seven seed, and I'm assuming, I guess it was it Pittsburgh? It would have been Pittsburgh this year, the number seven seed.
Yeah.
If I'm right in thinking, they would have gone to the Chiefs.
Yeah, and then it was Baltimore, Kansas City were 1-2, right?
Yeah, Baltimore 1, yeah. Kansas City 2.
Yeah.
And it was Titans 3, Texans 4. Us five, no. It was Baltimore, Kansas 1 and 2,
New England,
Houston were 4. Patriots. There we go. Yeah,
New England, Patriots. Us. Yeah,
yeah.
If anything, an extra game in the regular season leads to injuries, and a team that loses out a bye has to deal with injuries. So it's more football all around. And it's just more dangerous for the players. And that's why one of the things that you might have seen, a lot of players on Twitter voicing their displeasure with the new CBA. Now, I'll talk about that in a minute. But the last few bits about what we're getting. Player minimum salaries increase. So will revenue sharing. But it's not 50-50 like a lot of the players wanted. More money for player disability and pensions, which is great because the league has not been taking care of the retired players. And another thing that will matter in the short term, Roger Goodell is no longer the lead on player discipline. A third-party arbitrator will be appointed. So no longer will we be seeing Goodell be the bane and of decision-making here. It's out of his hands, so to say, which is good. He could focus on other things that he could ruin. But at least now when we want to blame someone, at least it will be from an impartial standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that I'm kind of interested about and actually seeing, obviously, how it's going to affect in the years years going forward is obviously the increase in the salary cap. So I mean, obviously this year it's now set at 198 million. I think it was an increase like 10 million or something like that from what it currently is. I'm not sure.
I don't have that number.
Don't have that number. Okay. But I think it's going to be good because I'm going through a few tweets on there. This was obviously before they announced it. I mean, if it was up to, if it was like, say, 205 million, cap space in 2020, the Bills would go up from the 73 they're on at the moment to 79 million.
Mm.
So I have a feeling that obviously takes 7 minutes, then it's set at, so we'll still have 73, but next year it gets bigger. I mean, these are stuff that we're gonna have to crunch a bit more and get a load more information on regarding the salary cap numbers. But again, it plays into Embiid's hands, because with the salary cap going up next year and anything that's left over rolling over, we can then actually look to build or use that money to actually re-sign, obviously, the key free agents that we're going to have next year, maybe even look to extend Edmonds or Allen without having to put a franchise tag on them.
More money's good, always.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have a team that has shown that they're willing to spend it, fantastic, you know? Not like Jacksonville, we're just completely decimating their team right now. So back to the CBA, though. So I mentioned that a lot of the players weren't satisfied with it. There's a really great article on the Players Tribune from a fringe player who sees this deal as good for, like, Aaron Rodgers of the world, but bad for bubble players. So let me explain that. One new thing is the addition of two additional practice squad players. And game day rosters go from 46 to 48. A practice squad player can be brought up two times a year. And the negative of this, he believes, is that it will lead to a lot more players being sign and cut. And obviously, when you look at it as a job, being cut sucks. And teams will have high roster turnover and... you know, people's jobs are at stake in this instance. A bigger practice squad also leads to players reaching free agency later in their careers, as practice squad players don't accrue time, which is needed to become a free agent. So paydays for players are now delayed. He's kind of saying that the goal or the desire would have been to increase the size of the 53-man roster, would have been a better decision than adding more practice squad players, because at least guys are now like on the roster, and teams can be more creative with the kind of players they sign. You know, like, remember a few years ago, the Bills had two kickers. Who doesn't want that? You know?
Well, we've got two punters now.
Oh, God. going on. I mean, obviously he hated the idea of the addition of the 17th game. Based off of only a minimal pay increase, he says it's not worth the health risk. And I agree with him completely there. Like I said earlier, the last CBA had a 17th game as a non-starter. They didn't want it, but now they're allowing it. So I wonder how they were persuaded to do so. Studies have shown that the toll that an extra game will take on a player reduces career time. So the average NFL player right now is 3.3 seasons. An extra game reduces that to 2.8. So you're looking at a lot of players not getting signed for a third year. That's not getting a paycheck for a whole year. It's devastating to think about these people's lives being affected like this. What they go through their whole life, the sacrifices they make their whole life to get to this point, and they're just treated as a commodity. I mean, that's capitalism for you, though, right? And that's why there's, a union here to negotiate these things. But it just seems like the players lost on that. Some of the things that players wanted that they didn't get was the franchise tag being eliminated, shorter rookie deals, RFA contracts being guaranteed, and fines being lowered or eliminated for veteran players not reporting to training camp. I don't like that last one. I think that if you signed a contract, you should abide by it. But the first few things there, I agree with. The franchise tag is awful. Less options for the player, and that's not great. Shorter rookie deals. I mean, rookie deals are long to keep prices down. It's not great for the players. But let me ask you, as a fan, these deals in place allow for teams to have more control. When a team has more control, they can make decisions that benefit win-loss. What this player is writing about is benefiting the player's individual needs. Where do you stand on this morally? Like, you want the best for the players, but you want to see your team win, and the best way to win is for the team to have more control over the players, right?
That's a difficult question to answer, to be honest. I think you've got this. There had to be some sort of middle ground between it, because yes, you want to see the brass actually having control, so they're able to build that culture, through whatever philosophy they have, whether it be splash out big, go hard, go home, or develop your own. But then you're thinking, you do that, you're risking the livelihood, you're risking job satisfaction of your players, and potentially with this extra game, an extra chance, and obviously removal of a preseason game, sort of that period where you could get another injury, which could be a bit more costly, with obviously the more contracts and more team control there is, and favouring over a player deal. Because if you have an extra 17th game, and say in week 13, 14, you get a bad injury that's going to set you out for a while, you haven't really got that much protection, that much cover going in. Whereas obviously, because the boss of the brass will have that more of that control and actually have the ability to either smash out or release that guy and not extend any contract.
Mm-hmm.
If that made any sense at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely one of those things that when you look at it, it's always like where do you fall, how do you feel, versus it's brain versus heart, you know.
yeah I mean if there was a common ground, I'm sure that it would have actually been voted with more of a majority than what it was.
Oh yeah, I mean, the deal was 10-19 to 9-59. I mean, it was razor sharp approved. I mean, the needle was threaded to get this thing passed. It just seems like player minimum salaries, it's a small increase. It's a lot to give up. I think probably the biggest thing they gave up was the length of the CBA. From the mid-90s to the early 2000s, they were renegotiating CBAs every 2 to 4 years. This one and the one that they last signed in 2011 is a 10-year CBA. The game changes on the field much faster than it does in the press box, and not being able to renegotiate often hurts the players big time. You have players, Allen Robinson, Eric Ebron, Richard Sherman, Kenyon Drake, speaking out against the CBA. Those are Pro Bowl players. A lot of veterans, I think, voted against it. I think that the desperate players are the ones who signed it because they saw a pay increase and they're like, if I'm a fringe guy, I need that guaranteed minimum salary and I need, and I need it now. And they're not really looking long term. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why it got passed.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, say you've got the flexibility, the cap space is going to go up, which then I guess you can say cap space is going to go up, which means some players can get a better contract than, well, they could be in line for a better contract than what they are.
Not the roster bubble guys, though, there's going to be more money to give to, the you know, the big name guys.
Yeah. But
I mean, Josh Allen's contract will go up. That money's not going to get spent on, you know, the Adrian Waddle, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, even so, I mean, even the ones, the mid-tier players on the roster with the cap going up potentially are in line for a little bit extra if they're a free agent or they're going to extend the contract. So, for example, let's put Jordan Poyer in there. Obviously, we know his missus has been beating on Twitter and Instagram that he should be paid more. Obviously, if they hold out a little bit longer with an increase in salary cap, maybe they can work out a figure to actually get him paid to the sort of level that we think or Bean thinks is reasonable, that Poyer would also think is reasonable with that little bit of leeway each way.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's good that it's come in, it's good that it's been ratified and that this season can start literally tomorrow or today, whenever you're listening to the podcast, with the legal tampering window before Wednesday, the league officially opens.
Yeah, it will not be suspended due to the virus. So the league starts on when the league starts. Guys are going to get signed. It's going to start coming in. So, yeah, I mean, a CBA is what it is now. It's locked in. There is no opt-out. So that is the behind-the-scenes look at what the players and the owners are dealing with. You know, no strike. If you're a fan of hockey, you've seen two lockout-shortened seasons in the last, like, 10 years. So we don't have to worry about that. The league will start on time. Games will probably start on time in the NFL. So that's the off season news going forward.
So I mean, we'll talk a little bit because, as I say, free agency and the league season starting in the next within the next 2 or 3 days. I mean, obviously we've discussed with Greg Thompson, we've discussed with who was our last guest that we had on, was it Matthew Fairburn, yeah, about the roles, about the philosophy and all that. I mean, I've just been looking through, I've been listening to other reporters, other articles and all that. But I mean, I've got a couple of free agents, more under the radar guys, which I think if I have, when this goes out and people hear the suggestions, they're probably going to come up to me with find out where they live. I'm not going to say where that is, just in case, with probably pitchforks and all that. Hang me when I'm trying to say, when I try and think of these under the radar guys, which, in my opinion, Bills could actually do. I mean, they've had was it Christian Kirksey?
Yeah, I mean, on him, Browns 2014 third round pick. He's good, not great. I mean, when you look at his comparisons with like Milano, he's not anywhere near that. He's a bit player, good in a base set. He's kind of smaller and he can't pass rush. But he's good, yeah, in zone coverage and run D. So I think sign him and maybe another pass rush linebacker, and they kind of work in tandem. I think that's the best bit for him.
We had another rumor or another player as linked, as Robert Quinn, the Dallas defensive end.
I mean, and that's more of a player that we would want. I mean, someone who can play every down and someone who's going to have production.
The ones I want to talk about, well, this one is more of a wide receiver, but I don't think he'd be an under the radar type guy that you're going to look for. I mean, I've seen it mentioned a few times, and that's Breshad Perriman. I mean, you get him for two years, 17 million. He'd be serviceable. He can stretch the field a little bit. He's one of those tall guys that can go up for the catch and will be a good three, possibly four, depending on how high we go in the draft. I mean, also,
yeah, I mean, you bring in a guy like that, and then you're looking at only drafting one wide receiver then, and you're looking at definitely losing two of the guys that we already have on the roster. I'm not opposed to it. You know, the depth at wide receiver falls off, really, after, I mean, everyone else is limited. I mean, even the guys that we have now are limited. They're not, like, hitting everything. But Perriman fills a need that, you know, no one else on the roster can do.
Yeah. I mean, another under the radar, Philip Dorsett, New England. I mean,
if he couldn't do it in New England, then I don't think he can do it here. I mean, here's a guy who had a lot of hype preseason in fantasy circles about, you know, can he be productive? And the dude just didn't show up. So, I mean, I don't know what we would be able to get out of him.
I don't know. I think we could. I mean, yeah, he's obviously, he's had, he's been working with Tom Brady and all that. I mean, yes, he had only 397 yards. He had five touchdowns at New England, in New England for that year. But, or since in his time with New England, he's got 881 yards, eight touchdowns in Indianapolis. Played 26 games, 753 yards and three touchdowns. So altogether in his 5 years, 1,634 yards, 11 touchdowns.
I mean, he was drafted to be a guy who was going to be productive, and he never really lived up to it. I mean, I wouldn't want to put too much into him.
But again, it's one of those with DeMarcus Robinson who's not had a lot of opportunity. Tajay Sharp.
Yeah. I mean, if you have him as the number four, that's okay, Dorsett. Mm. But I think if you get Perriman, then you can have him as a three.
Yeah, because I mean, in 4 years at Kansas, if we're going by DeMarcus Robinson, in 4 years, he's got 949 yards and eight touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at an extra 700 yards from Dorsett, and they're probably around the same area. But my under radars are coming mainly on the defensive line, because we all know how there were times last year where Brandon Bean played the likes of Shaq Lawson inside and pretty much had a set where he had pretty much pass rushers all the way through. So Ed Hughes, Murphy, Lawson, and either Ed Oliver or Jordan Phillips actually on that front seven. Mm-hmm. And he loves the versatility, hence obviously Lorenzo Alexander rushing from hands in the dirt to stand up linebacker. A couple of names, which one you can probably call a bust is Hassan Ridgeway. He can be a rush as a stand-up or hands in the ground guy. I got Adam Gottes of Denver. He's played defensive end. He can also shift inside to defensive tackle. And even if we go for a very under the radar and a cheap veteran as well, maybe on a year or 2 year, even Jack Crawford, a Brit from Atlanta. He's had his spells. He's had some good seasons and all that, but it's one of those under the radar guys that you may not, well, these guys are under your radar guys that you probably think, no, they've been cut for a reason. They haven't been re-signed for a reason. Okay. Jack Crawford, he's 31. Ridgeway and Gottes are coming just off their last rookie deals, but you're looking at there saying no, they're not what the Bills are wanting. But it's that gap in your mind that they like versatility. That defense is full of versatiles because you've got cornerbacks that can play safe, or safeties that can play cornerback. You've got linebackers who could potentially play as a defensive end. You've got defensive ends that could play tackle. I mean, even if you look on the O-line, you've got tackle, you've got centers that could play guards, guards that could play centers. You've got tight ends that can play out as wide receivers and all that. The versatility. Yeah,
I
mean,
what I would be looking for in this kind of category of guys who are under the radar are, find me another Jordan Phillips.
Okay.
You know, I mean, bring in a guy who is not a lock and have, like, I want to see us churning out guys who come here, produce, and then go get paid somewhere else. That means that, you know, we're getting guys on the cheap consistently, bringing out the best in players, and then letting someone else spend all the money on them. If we can get guys for cheap who are productive, that's the goal. That's the dream.
Yeah, I mean, also, I think that's what we've got to aim for. I mean, yes, people are going to say, let's trade the bank for Ngakoue. Let's see what the Ravens want for Judon. Let's see if we can entice Amari Cooper over here for, what was it, about $70 million over 4 years or something stupid like that. They want that, but again, as you say, it's about the development and what you spend low risk, high reward.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what most signings should be, especially if you're already set in certain positions. If you can get that under the radar guy, that guy that will give you high reward for low risk, even if you sign him for a year to prove it, if they play lights out, then you've got a choice. You can either let him go and potentially get a better comp pick, or you can re-sign him and maybe use him as trade bait towards the end of the trade deadline in the next football season, the next football year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, that's the dream, and that is also very rare. You know, I mean, you can't, not everyone's going to be a hit. Not everyone's going to work out. It's the legacy of the GM that gets the best out of the players that are, you know, the prove it deal. And I think we've seen Bean do that well, but it's not going to be, it shouldn't be an expectation to have that every year. I mean, for as much as I say bring in another Jordan Phillips type situation, I mean, every team tries and fails at that every year.
Yeah. I mean, I've got one last question. Unless you've got any under the radar free agents that you could think of or know about that you want to put forward.
No, I mean, the guys that I would like to see happen are guys that we all know. I mean, Kyle Van Noy would be the ideal linebacker for us, and I think that, like, Jordan Howard would be the ideal running back, but I don't think either one of those are going to happen.
Yeah, so I got one quick question. It's draft-related, but we'll talk about that in a later show. I put a poll out on the Twitter page, on the UK Bills Twitter page, just to see if you had a choice of a few players, who would you go for? And I've put down the choices of Denzel Mims and Peoples Jones, T. Higgins and Tyler Johnson, Justin Jefferson and Van Jefferson, or others. The guys that selected others, it said, please state. And I said, if you select others, please state the duos in the comments. Didn't do it. Huh. But who would you go for?
Well, I mean, when you compare it, like you said, Mims and Peoples Jones next to each other. And I think that Peoples Jones is more of a third round pick and Mims is a late first. I will beat a dead horse and say I want us to trade down and take Mims in like the late 20s. And get an extra third round, fourth round pick. I think that's the goal. That's what I want.
So I did the poll and they went for T. Higgins and Tyler Johnson. And I'll probably go into it another draft, but obviously with, I've had this conversation with a couple of guys, the T. Higgins and his pro day and what I see go wrong with that, I will probably discuss at a later time. But what we're going to do, if you've got anything else to add at all, or if anything?
No, I mean, I feel like we had a really good conversation about, you know, where the league is at. We put some names out there. You know, the state of the Bills is strong with the way that we're re-signing players and bringing in guys. It's been a good distraction because every single conversation I've had over the last week has been about the flu. So it's good to get back in talking about football. Let's just hope that the draft happens on time. And, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not going, so I don't care if there's fans there. Let's do this thing.
I hope it goes ahead, because I've actually booked the day after the first round off to actually watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah. On our next episode, we'll hopefully do it early after the after Wednesday, so maybe Thursday, Friday. Might even delay it to Saturday, Sunday, we're going to go over the latest news regarding the free agency and who the Bills signed. So depending on how busy the activity is in the first few days, will determine when the next podcast goes out. So what we keep asking you to do is keep interacting with us. Keep sending in questions, even if it's something trivial. Tweet us, email us, DM us, whatever, because we will answer these questions on there. We've got a fair few mock drafts that we're going to go through, so please keep interacting with us. And if there's nothing else that you'd like to add, Alex?
I'm good.
Then for this time, until next time, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. If you're self-isolating, listen, go back and listen to all the podcast episodes. Make it a podcast marathon with the Red, White and Buffalo Blues podcast. But for me and for Alex, it's go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three.